This past Sunday, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and David, Lord tells him to go and rescue the people of Keilah. You have the Philistines attacking them. He goes, he delivers them. Great things have happened. This was at a great risk, David putting himself out there. Saul gets word. David's trying to figure out, should I leave? Should I flee? Will they protect me or not? He gets betrayed. He gets totally stabbed in the back. All of his kindness. But God warns him. He's able to flee. His love is going to be repaid with hatred. And that's a real emotion. Again, when you're looking at 1 Samuel 23 and you're reading through the story, it's kind of just the facts of just what happened. You don't really get the heart, the emotions of what David was experiencing. The cries of his own heart. The emotive part of it all. There are a lot of Psalms that we can directly connect to individual stories because the Psalms will tell us that they're directly connected. Other Psalms, we've got to use a little creative license. And so related to what David's going through, I've picked two Psalms that I want to look at that I think could very easily have been written by David during this season of hurt and betrayal. We'll start with Psalms 27. It's titled An Exuberant Declaration of Faith, Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Again, his temple, speaking of heaven. David's saying, I've got this stuff happening all around me. Betrayal and armies and I'm on the run and we're fearing for this. And you got Saul and that. And then he just kind of like, but the one thing, you know, of all the things that I desire, when it's all said and done, however this plays out, the one thing that I want, the thing that I seek, is I want to dwell with God forever. Again, this is just a great example of why scriptures will tell us that David, a man of many mistakes and shortcomings, is called a man after God's own heart because that was his pursuit. He was a man after, chasing, pursuing the heart of God, a relationship with God, a oneness with God. Far from perfect, but a man of faith, who trusted God, who was willing to admit failure, take responsibility for his mistakes. A man that our Lord Jesus will be called the Son of David. To inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, he shall hide me in his pavilion and the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. What a difficult perspective to have in the midst of being surrounded and being attacked and being threatened. You know what? In the middle of all this, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise the Lord. He says, verse 7, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. So do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You've been my help, past tense. So do not leave me, present tense. Do not forsake me. And then he calls, I love this, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He says, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Now, what an amazing idea. Teach me your way. I want to know your way. So lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. So what he's saying is, he's saying, teach me your way, O Lord. And I trust and I know that this smooth path, your way, is going to happen because of my enemies. That you are going to use my enemies to lead me along the path that you have for me. He says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, nor false witnesses have arisen, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would be lost if I hadn't believed in you, that you'd be good, that your promises would be sure. And then he says, verse 14, wait on the Lord. He speaks to himself. It's the understood you. You, David, wait on the Lord. Don't act in haste. Wait on God in his direction. Be of good courage. Be courageous. And as a result, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say again, wait on the Lord. What a powerful passage. What a profound, again, you can see David on the run, fleeing from Saul, betrayal here, armies surrounding the second half of the chapter. Another psalm I think that can be attributed, again, gives us insight using some licenses, is flip a page to the right, Psalm 31. Again, psalm this quite lengthy, so we'll just kind of read through it and be blessed by it. David begins, he says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Like David's not trusting in his military expertise or his advisors or towns that he's in. Like where's his trust, his confidence? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you, verse 3, are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. David puts his destiny and his situation on the reputation of God. For your name's sake. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. David knew that he was being betrayed. Pull me out of the net. You are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Again, verse 5 of Psalms 31, for into your hand I commit my spirit, was quoted directly by Jesus, Luke 23. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Also quoted by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Committing one's spirit into the hand of God. Verse 6, I have hated those who regard useless idols. But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. You have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have seen the feet in a wide place that David realizes and is acknowledging and is speaking out. He trusts in the Lord, but the Lord knows his trouble. The Lord knows his plight. The Lord knows his situation. So he declares in verse 9, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. That was true. And my eyes waste away with grief. Again, that betrayal he had experienced, just my soul and my body. God, I'm burnt out. I'm bummed. Have mercy. My eyes are wasting away, melting. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. My bones waste away. I'm a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, which the residents of Kaliah were. And I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. David had real problems, and he's acknowledging them and the effect that they were having on his life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. Again, it's almost like you just need to go through all these psalms, and every time you see "but," you know, just highlight it. Because David will just, he'll acknowledge things. He'll be real and raw and forward. And then there's this "but," where he comes back to reality, checks things. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly, contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in your secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The goodness of God, God's favor and his love and his goodness, it's hidden in him. Like, how do we access these things? It's in him, where no one can take it away, and we have full access all the time, continuously. Verse 21, getting to the end, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he's shown me marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. God, you heard me. You're taking care of me. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Again, we'll close with that again. Be of good cheer. "And he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." What a powerful psalm. If you've enjoyed these two psalms, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. From there, you can not only access all of these psalms that we've been looking at, but you'll see that they're connected to the passage in the histories that they're related to. So this one being 1 Samuel chapter 23. Thanks for joining me. God bless.